Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome to Radio Islam International on the Saturday afternoon time. Right now is 20 minutes past 4 o'clock and we are broadcasting live from the edge of the Ijtima here in Overport. This is the annual Ijtima for the province of KZN at Tills Crescent Grounds in Overport, and we believe that hundreds of Muslims have descended upon the community of Overport. The event is one of the largest religious gatherings that will be taking place over this weekend. And respected listeners, just like every other gathering that holds, this too is a great source of knowledge, self-reformation, and way of coming together for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with other members of the community seeking knowledge and trying to gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned hadith that ma min qawmin ijtama'u ala yadhkuruna Allah wa la yuriduna bithalika illa nadahum munadi min as-sama' an qumu maghfura lakum qad badaltu sayyi'at Hasanat. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that whenever people gather to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the angels, the malaika, surround such gatherings and they are covered with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the announcer announces in the heavens that قُومُ مَغْفُورًا لَكُمْ قَدْ بَدَّلْتُ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ حَسَنَاتٍ, that stand up in such a manner that all your sins will be forgiven at the end of that gathering. So subhanAllah, very blessed and auspicious gathering that is taking place here at Overport. And alhamdulillah, the Radio Islam team left Lanesia yesterday and we had a program earlier this morning from the studios of Radio Islam in KZN. We had Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahab and Maulana Muhammad Venker spoke in details with regards to the Ijtima, the object of the Ijtima, the virtues and the benefits of Ijtima. Inshallah, we will also be crossing over to our presenters that are at different sites at the Ijtima. They are going to give us updates, and with me I have Maulana Yusuf Umar as well, who is going to inshallah be speaking and giving us more details. But we have Brother Norman Panjbaya as well as Maulana Muhammad Bam at different sites, different places in the Ijtima. Inshallah we'll be crossing over to them as well and getting updates with regards to that. But just to mention some of the benefits and the reward of the Ijtima before I hand the mic over to my co-host, that is Maulana Yusuf Umar, that the Ijtima's co-focus is to bring Muslims together for the purpose of promoting the important religion of Islam and advising those in attendance to adhere to the principles and practices of Islam. We find that ulama from across the country, as well as strong international groups that will deliver talks throughout the duration of this weekend. Many attendees are expected to stay overnight at this venue also. So what's the term Ijtima mean? Ijtima means a gathering of people from various masjids, from various localities, from various regions and provinces. They come together, they supplicate and devote themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They listen to the advices, they listen to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They eat together, they in the same sleeping area as well, whether they are rich or whether they are poor. This is the uniqueness of this Ijtima. This is also a unique platform where people of different backgrounds come together and they invite one another towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They remind one another regarding their religion, regarding Islam, and they also teach one another how to gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just to mention a few benefits of the Ijtima, people are taught the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They learn various and basic surahs and du'as that they can read in salah in order for their salah to be correct. They read 5 times salah a day. Some who are not regular with salah develop this form of Ijtima. They even read tahajjud salah. They get opportunities to perform the tahajjud salah. Sitting in the company of ulama and pious people, this is the command of the Quran, and this is what they practice upon. They mix with pious people, ahlullah, those people that are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we said, inshallah, throughout the program, very shortly we'll be having Maulana Aku from Peter Maritzburg giving us the object of Ijtima, and also Maulana Yusuf Sadr from Ladysmith will also be speaking to us regarding the object and the purpose of the Ijtima. But before we cross over to those ulama in the studios here, we have Maulana Yusuf Umar, my co-host, and he also is sharing with us some of the insights regarding the Ijtima. So firstly, let me welcome Maulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tuji, Molana, how are you keeping this afternoon?
Gee, Alhamdulillah, very well, Molana. While Molana Habib was busy this morning, mm-hmm. and during the course of the day, we had some time. We were driving around, looking at the sights of the Ijtima, the parking, etc. So tell our listeners the atmosphere regarding the Ijtima, what people will be coming here and what they'll be expecting, Molana.
Gee, Alhamdulillah, it's not pouring. It's slightly wet here in Durban, but I tell you, it hasn't kept the brothers and the community of Durban indoors. Alhamdulillah, it's quite packed. The place where we are staying, till the studio, that road that you take, it's about roughly a kilometer, maybe just more than a kilometer, but that's basically the road where the Ijtima is happening. So, you know, from there, as you come in, you can see the shuttles. There's so many shuttles that there's parking. There's a lot of people going for the Ijtima. This kind, even before you actually enter the Ijtima ground, Molana, already you can get that atmosphere, that vibe, people going in cars, people walking as well, like I mentioned, the shuttles. You just see it everywhere, you can feel it, and like I said, Alhamdulillah, the spirit and enthusiasm of the community of Durban should be really recognized and admired. It's a slight drizzle here. But we find that this hasn't kept anyone indoors, Alhamdulillah. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all those that are sacrificing and all those that are participating in the Ijtima. And here on Radio Islam, inshallah, we'll be bringing you rolling coverage, the latest on what is happening there, inshallah.
So you're talking about rolling coverage. We believe our engineers has put Brother Norman Panchbaya as well as Mulana Muhammad Bam. They are at the Ijtima site as we are speaking, as we are just at the edge of the Ijtima, where we are broadcasting this program from the edge of the Ijtima. But our presenter as well as reporters are in the Ijtima ground. So let's cross over to firstly Molana Ibrahim Bam, Molana Muhammad Bam, who's going to give us some details and paint a picture for us, for our listeners who is listening to Radio Islam currently, just to get insight with regards to what's happening. So let's cross over to Molana Muhammad Bam. Firstly, Molana Muhammad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Molana Saib, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, we are well here, Alhamdulillah. Molana, how are you keeping? Tell us what's happening there.
Alhamdulillah. Molana, just coming towards the Ijtima Ghad, it was on the main road, it's Brickfield Road. We've seen that there's a lot of traffic, a lot of people making their way to the Ijtima. And I should say that we should really appreciate the brothers who have made it possible, the traffic marshals. And just last week, we know that there was a heavy windstorm that had blown many of these tents down. But within time, they have got this Ijtima rolling. Many people coming. We've seen the Lanija bus has also arrived here at the Ijtima. And if you are in the area, make your way to the Ijtima. The Asr Azan has just gone, and people are getting ready for the Salah. We've seen that there's a lot of people. The weather is a bit damping. I won't say dampening, because it's just damping, just a slight drizzle. It's quite wet. And we hope that this is quite needed in the Joburg area also.
As far as the numbers you mentioned, Molana, the numbers are pouring in, etc. We say that as far as the attendance is concerned, it's what was expected, perhaps even more?
I would say that I think they've exceeded what they expected, because we know that just opposite Alhamra Hotel, there's quite a big parking lot. The parking is quite full. There are shuttle service happening from there coming down towards the Ijtima. And we see the traffic is quite full also coming to the road towards the Ijtima.
Molana Bam, tell us how you are walking at the grounds of the Ijtima for those people that will be coming there. Is there a little bit of a challenge to walk since seeing that the rain was coming down from this morning earlier? Lots of mud or are the people...
Let's try to wear either chambals or... shoes that are quite covered, because there is quite a bit of mud, and if you're going to wear anything else, you might just wet your socks or your, especially if you're wearing this canvas shoes, water might seep in also.
Molana, inshallah, later in hour we'll get back to you again and you can give us much more updates. We do have Brother Norman Pajipaya also, another spot at the Ijtima, so let's speak to Brother Norman as well. Norman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to my Suhaib as well as my Yusuf.
Gee, tell us and describe to our listeners where exactly are you, Molana, and also tell us with regards to the program what our listeners can expect, or those people that will be attending the Ijtima who will be delivering the lecture, Molana.
See, Masreem, at the moment I'm standing just where the wudu facilities as well as the toilet and shower facilities has been set up for all those that will be attending the Ijtima. Alhamdulillah, as our listening to Muhammad Bam, we have to thank those people that put in their effort day and night to make this Ijtima a success, as well as those that will come in afterwards. You know, the main work is once when a person leaves, or once the Ijtima finishes, then the main work starts. So we have to thank them for that. But at the moment I'm standing here, many people are making their way towards the main tent as Asr Salah will be starting in a minute or so. So many of them making their way, the people becoming farish, people making themselves ready for the Asr Salah, as well as the program that will be taking place afterwards. But just for those listeners, or for those people that haven't been able to come to the Ijtima, just a rundown of what has taken place so far. Alhamdulillah, the Ijtima had started by about Zohar time, and after Zohar there was a bayan by one of the foreign Jamaat. And Alhamdulillah, as the Asr time approaches, after Asr there'll be a talk rendered by Hazrat Abdul Hamid Ishaq Sahib, inshallah, the principal of Darul Mazarville. And after Maghrib, that's the main bayan by Hazrat Muhammad Sulaiman Kitani. And after Isha, inshallah, there'll be the meals as normal, and then after Fajr there'll be a talk, inshallah. That's the program for tonight and tomorrow.
See, Noman, you know, as I was driving just along the road, the entrance to the Ijtima and in and around the area, I noticed a lot of youth. I noticed a lot of youth, and I would assume right now that as you look around, you'll also be looking at a lot of youth. And Alhamdulillah, I mean, taking in consideration the current situation of the Ummah, it's quite encouraging to see that sort of group, or that audience attending the Ijtima.
Shiva, Yusuf, truly indeed, as I'm looking around at the moment, I see a lot of youth at the moment, and most of them are assisting those that are elderly, as well as to help those that you know, might be carrying their sleeping bags or any of their bags. Those youngsters are ever ready to help those old people. Many of them are driving those caddies. You know, we always look forward to driving those caddies. Any masjid will want this. Yeah, the golf cart. At the moment when I'm standing, I'm seeing one of the youngsters driving the golf cart, and there's about two or three people sitting on it, and they're having a good chuckle.
See, maybe they're looking at you and saying, see that uncle, you know, you come to the Ijtima, but it's so long on the phone.
I think I'll have to do it, I'll have to hide behind one of the trucks maybe that I set up here also, you know, just to stay away.
Gee, brother Noman, jazakallah for that update. Inshallah, in the next hour as well, we'll try and get more updates from you and maybe get some tips on what the speakers were speaking about, and also overall atmosphere that what's happening at the Ijtima. Jazakallah to brother Noman Panchbayam. Molana, inshallah, in the hour also, my engineer does indicate to me that we do have Molana Aku from Peter Marisburg. Molana is a well-known orator in that KZN region, and Molana will be also speaking to us with regards to the Ijtima. But before that, we go for a short ad break. When you return, inshallah, we'll continue.
Welcome back. It's now 36 minutes past 4. Yes, about 25 minutes. Just less than 25 minutes before 5 here on Radio Islam International. We're coming to you live from Durban. The KwaZulu-Natal Ijtima is taking place this weekend in Overport. And we're bringing you rolling coverage of what's happening there. We have Maulana Muhammad Bam, Noman Panchbay, that are there at the Ijtima site itself, bringing you latest reports. And we'll also be discussing the importance of the Ijtima, various aspects regarding the Ijtima. And you know, you'll be surprised, Maulana Suhaib, for many people, and it's quite unfortunate, the idea, just thinking of the idea of an Ijtima, you know, people would think of perhaps some sort of Islamic souk, or Islamic get-together, or, you know, your annual opportunity to get your topis or your kurtas, or to stock up on whatever else, your eaters, etc. But it's nowhere near that. It's very far from that. It's just a great misunderstanding. And, Mulan, I suppose the easiest way for a person to get the correct understanding of the istima is to sit in the programs.
Yes, most definitely, and to attend physically and come to this istima. So to explain to us more regarding the object of the istima and the benefits of the istima, we have one of the alims of KZN, a very well orator in the KZN region, that is Mulana Ahmed Aku, who resides in Peter Marisburg. So we do have Mulana on the line. Let's greet Mulana and welcome him. Mulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Firstly, we say jazakallahu khairan for your time. Mawlana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, and how are you this evening?
Alhamdulillah, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all is good, mashallah. We have lovely rain coming down, mashallah. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept feeding upon the region of Pietermaritzburg and Durban.
Mulana, we're just trying to describe the atmosphere here at the Ijtima, where we are sitting at the edge of the Ijtima, but for the benefit of our mothers and sisters that don't know what the Ijtima is and the object of the Ijtima, could you kindly mention the purpose and the object of the Ijtima?
Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To really cover such a broad question in this short time that we've been given is rather difficult. But just to encapsulate the purpose of this type of gathering and what are the purposes of it, first and foremost, this is such a wonderful opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with this great gathering of so many believers in one place doing the same thing for a purpose and for a goal and object, and that is to firstly get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's also, it gives every person an opportunity to cut themselves off from our worldly activities, and we enter into this wonderful environment of nur and a environment where it gives us an opportunity to focus on what is our purpose of life, that is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to make effort towards our year after. It also revives the spirit of iman that is in the heart of each and every believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It increases our iman and it gives us direction. And whenever there's a gathering of so many believers at one place and the goal and object is one, it has nothing to do in relation with the world and activities of the world, but rather the goal and focus is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And automatically the goodness that flows from such a gathering is something which is very difficult to really comprehend or to explain in words, but it is something which is wonderful. And it is a great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us such privileges and opportunities.
Now, you know, Mulana, there might be someone sitting at home in the Durban area, you know, and thinking that, you know, if I go to the Ijtima, what will I gain? You know, what exactly is there to gain as far as benefits are concerned? You know, so I suppose for the benefit of all of us, what would you say is the benefits? Everybody will say, yeah, okay, you're sitting in a bayan and learning, but I'm sure there's something deeper than that.
Most definitely, it's a lot deeper than that. And then just to really run through one or two points with regards to the benefits that we get from the Ijtima, there's different benefits for those individuals that perhaps were involved in the effort from the beginning. There's different benefits for those that might just attend for a stipulated period of time. But there's also benefit for the one that just goes to a gathering of this nature and does absolutely nothing at all, even if it's for a split second. So to start off with the benefits of those who are perhaps involved in the efforts from the beginning, then what we see come out from the Ijtima or these types of gatherings in terms of benefit is you get to see things that happen totally against the grain or the norm of what would normally happen in a person's life. So the man who's really not really domesticated in his home, you'll suddenly see that person working hard in the tuck shop. He never touched a spoon in the kitchen at home. Not that that's the idea and that's how it's supposed to be, but here will be the man, you know, making burger, making food for others for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who would never mess their hands ordinarily in under normal circumstances would now be doing a task that they would never be doing normally, and it's done only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that aspect of humility, that spirit of brotherhood, is the benefit that comes to those who are perhaps involved in the effort from the beginning. For those who might just visit just for a few moments, the benefit that comes there is that first and foremost, you get the opportunity to be in the environment of so many believers at one and the same time. So it could be people there who are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than we could ever imagine. Through their closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we attain the benefit of being in the gathering of the pious. There's so many hundreds of ulama that will be attending this ijtima. There will be so many huffaz of the Quran, so many people close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just by you being in such great company, automatically the color of the goodness will come upon you, and your iman will be increased, and you will definitely be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then cover the third type of visitor to this gathering that does absolutely nothing and spends a mere moment or a mere second in this gathering. We learn from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when there's a gathering where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made mention of, and people are making the dhikr of Allah, then the angels give a report back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of their gathering. And then it's a lengthy narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I just want to touch on the last part of this narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the angels tell Allah that there were certain people in a gathering where others were remembering you, but those people's purpose was not to remember you. They were merely passing by, and they just stopped there and joined the gathering for a few moments. The object was not to make the dhikr of Allah. The object was not anything noble. They were just passing by. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the gathering wherein I am remembered is such a great gathering that even the one that passes by and does absolutely nothing, or the one whose aim and object is something else, they also will attain the benefit of this gathering, and that is the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one involved in the effort from the very beginning, the one that's just there for a stipulated period of time, and the one that's there even for a moment, everybody benefits from such a wonderful gathering.
Subhanallah, just to remind our listeners, time right now exactly 4:15, and you are listening to Radio Islam International. We are here at the edge of the Istima, that is in Overport. Istima has started just after Zohar Salah here in Overport, so we are broadcasting, covering a program while the Asr Salah is taking place at the Istima. We have on the line one of the alims of KZN, that is Mulana Ahmad Aku, who is giving us more insight with regards to the Istima. Mulana, you mentioned the purpose of the Istima as well as the benefit of the ijtima. Was there gatherings of dawah and learning in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
Most definitely, there were many, many such gatherings in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amongst the glorious companions, we find so many occasions where there were types of gatherings. They would gather together, and the purpose would be either to impart knowledge or to learn knowledge, or the purpose would be to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A famous narration comes to mind where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come to the masjid, and he had seen a group of companions seated in the masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired from them as to what was the purpose of them, of their gathering, what was the purpose of them being together. And they narrated to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the purpose of their gathering was to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to increase their knowledge, and basically it was to do with either making the dhikr of Allah or increasing knowledge of deen, or speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the reason or the purpose for me asking why you have gathered here is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Jibreel alayhi salam to me with revelation saying that Allah is pleased with the old gathering, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the old actions. So these types of gatherings were prevalent in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and these are types of gatherings that we need to have more often, because when you look at the global crisis that is happening right now around the world in terms of difficulties and hardships that the Ummah is facing, these types of gatherings are very effective in terms of drawing the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just spoke a little earlier about what is the benefit of the ijtima for individuals, but I think it's also important that we touch on the global benefit of such gatherings, because the more believers that gather on one plane at one at the same time, and their aim and object is to please Allah, automatically this is a magnet or a magnetic field that starts to draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what's so beautiful about deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with is that when anybody attempts to draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that mercy of Allah comes down, it doesn't come down exclusively to you as the one individual that drew Allah's mercy on that particular piece of ground, but rather Allah's mercy comes down in such a way that it encompasses everything far beyond yourself and the place where you are in. So this might be one gathering that's taking place in one corner here in Overport in the city of Durban, but the aim of drawing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is not exclusive to this one place. It can be such that this mercy encompasses the entire world. So whenever there's gatherings where people are together worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are types of gatherings that did take place in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the companions would gather for the purpose of remembering Allah or for the purpose of imparting knowledge of deen and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It happened after the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is something that has happened throughout time. Not exactly in the manner in which we are gathering right now, but definitely similar types of gatherings did take place.
SubhanAllah. Now, speaking of such gatherings, Marana, you know, for many people, I would say for 90-95% of the people, you know, you just see a poster one day, Durban Ijtima or Joburg Ijtima happening so-and-so weekend, you get there, the tents are in order, the shuttles are there, everything is in order, the sound is set up, and you just sit and you can have your meals and you can sit for the bayan. But for that remaining 5% or 4%, there's a lot of preparations. And of course, even though the Ijtima is happening right now, the preparations, we're speaking of 5, 6, maybe even 7 months prior. Perhaps, Mulana, I'm sure you, Mulana, was involved, whether it be this Ijtima or previous Ijtimas, but Mulana has some experience as far as the preparations and logistics are concerned. Perhaps you could take us through the preparations of the Ijtima.
When it comes to the preparations of such an august and amazing gathering, then as you correctly mentioned, Moana, I think it's sometimes something that we take for granted. But really speaking, when it comes to putting together such a program and putting together preparing for such a program that runs over 3 days and to cater for so many people, it is only through the sheer mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is actually nothing short of a miracle that so much gets done in such little time with such little manpower as happens when an Ijtima takes place. Because if you sit beforehand and you have to just ponder over how much of effort goes into putting an Ijtima together from A to Z, under normal circumstances it would literally be absolutely impossible to put together such a gathering and to prepare for such a gathering in any other circumstance. But this is only through the mercy of Allah that everything materializes so fast, everything happens in such a meticulous manner as is done with an Ijtima. You know, you don't know where to start and you don't know where to end in terms of speaking about the preparations of the Ijtima, from the setting up of the tents to the setting up of the feeding area, when it comes to the logistics of parking, when it comes to, as you mentioned, the sound system, everything. There's so many things that you can look at. We have brothers who take care of the sanitation in the Ijtima. That alone is such a tedious task. People, the electrical part, everything. And then when it comes to the coordination of the various jamaats, the preparations, how many jamaats have moved through the entire country over the last 3-4 months in preparation for this Ijtima is absolutely unbelievable. It just in terms of Johannesburg and Durban, there's so many ulama that have been moving to and fro, Jummah programs, Ijtima Dawood taking place in various towns. It's such a vibe and hype that's created, all to prepare for the 72 hours that we will spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to sum it up, it's nothing short of a miracle. In no other time of the year, under any other circumstance, can such a program be put together where so many individuals come together from different backgrounds. There's people that are involved, for example, in the sanitation part of the Ijtima, and yet none of them are what we would term as qualified plumbers. But here, everybody puts their shoulder to the grind, everybody is ready to help and assist, and everybody does become a master in that field for that period of time, only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The preparations are a lot, and I think sometimes this is definitely something that we take for granted, and we need to really pay tribute to all those people who help and assist in terms of putting this program together, whether it be from A up to Z. Every part of the logistics of putting together such a program is something which is immensely rewarded and appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I think we as the public and every attendee of the Ijtima itself should also lift their hands up in dua for all those people who put such a wonderful program together.
Mulana, finally, before we let you go, we're just observing that the Asr Salah has just completed and many are sitting in a lecture that is taking place. We are at the edge of the Istima where we are broadcasting from. But before we let you go and also to for you to benefit, also the last question that we have regarding women, that what role do the women have regarding the Ijtima?
With regards to our mothers and sisters, mashallah, I think they have one of the greatest roles to play in the success of any Ijtima gathering that takes place, because I think this would be more on a lighter note for us to understand this point. Everybody needs a visa to leave the country or to enter another country, and if you don't get that visa, you're not going nowhere, you're sitting put at home. So why I say our mothers and sisters, first and foremost, I think have one of the most important roles to play in the Ijtima is, firstly, they need to ensure that the visa is granted to all the men folk, to all their husbands and their sons and the brothers and fathers, whoever it is. The visa needs to be granted without an application. In fact, this visa needs to be enforced by the women folk, by our mothers and sisters. No men are allowed to be at home this weekend. They all need to be in the Ijtima. So I hope our mothers and sisters have heard this message loud and clear. Please grant that visa. MashaAllah, you have your whole life to have your husband in next to you and with you over the weekend. We know it's a long weekend. That little bit of sacrifice that we make, definitely we will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they need to firstly grant the visa, number one. Number two, our mothers and sisters, MashaAllah, they need to engage in dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this gathering a gathering of success, inshallah, and make it a means of benefit for the entire ummah. And also, let's not underestimate the efforts of our mothers and sisters, the role that they've played already, even in terms of the preparation of the Ijtima, whether it be the meals that were sent repeatedly for the people working on site, mashallah, these are no small deeds, these are great deeds that our mothers and sisters are always part and parcel of. So all those who consumed the food and made effort in preparation of putting the Ijtima together, the full reward is for all our mothers and sisters, but they have a great role to play in terms of the success of this Ijtima, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them fulfill that role to the best of their ability, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this gathering a gathering of our maghfirah and forgiveness, and a gathering of peace and mercy that pours down upon the entire world, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen. Well, jazakallah for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, and we hope to speak to you soon, inshallah.
Inshallah, always a pleasure being on Radio Islam, mashallah. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all as well. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each and every one of us his forgiveness. But I think we should end more on a lighter note. There's somebody that sent a post this morning that went as follows, that there's free accommodation over this long weekend that's available to one and all. There's safe, secure parking as well, 24/7. So anybody looking for accommodation this weekend, mashallah. The address is the grounds in Overport where the Ijtima is taking place. For all the males, we can capitalize it. Generally, by human nature, we're always looking for something that's free of charge. Here, it's actually not free. We get paid by the mercy of Allah and by the forgiveness of Allah. So it's we gain in all the ways.
Inshallah. And I think on just another lighter note, Mulana, the Radio Islam team will be here in Durban, so we hope you get your visa as well. We would like to make more.
Visa is granted. We all go to the Ijtima, mashallah.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Gee, mashallah, brilliant advices there. Mulana Aku from Pietermaritzburg, speaking about the benefits of the Ijtima, the objective of Ijtima. And yes, dear listeners, we are here in KwaZulu-Natal, and we're bringing you rolling coverage of what's happening there in the Ijtima. Of course, this is a gathering of dawah. It's a gathering where the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being taken. The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being revived. There's no other objective. There's absolutely no other objective. If you come across a stall, or you come across a store, or you come across someone selling something, it is something, by the way. But there in that main tent right in front where those talks are taking place, and I suppose the men folk can relate, the women folk just try to picture it. You have the main tent, you have a kind of a stage there. the main bayan, all the programs take place there, right there, on that spot. There is the core of the istima, there is the objective of istima, of course, to perform the five times salah and then to sit in those programs, so that, not that the mind, it has nothing to do with the mind, so it's not about sitting there and learning. That will be another benefit. It's more to do with the heart, Mawlana Sahib. Not so much with the mind. You might learn a hadith or two, you might learn one or two aspects about deen, but I think the objective is for those talks to affect your heart. You need to go, you need to leave there with your heart slightly affected, at least slightly.
Definitely, Mawlana, the environment that you are in plays an important role in a life of a person's changing their life. So obviously they need to come out in such environment where the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being taken, where the name of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taken, and then they are mixing with people that are known as Ahlullah. They are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pious people. They mix with them, then whatever good qualities they have, it rubs onto these people as well. So we need to come out every now and again, just like how a fish without water, the fish cannot survive. Similarly, to renew our iman and to strengthen our iman, we need to come out in these gatherings where the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes place, the name of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes place. When we with our family members, when we are in our business, at that time our iman at times decreases. So when we attend gatherings as such gatherings, then our iman increases. And we also learned this from an incident in a time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know the famous incident of Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu anhu, that when he was in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he would feel that he's a believer and his iman is always on high. But whenever he would return home, when he would be with his family members, when he would be with his kids, at that time he would feel that there's a drop in his iman. So he complained this to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also mentioned that same thing happens to me as well. So both of them went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how they feel when they are at home. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then consoled them and told them that only the iman of malaika, they remain at one level, whereas our iman fluctuates, our iman goes up and down. If you are in an environment where the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a good environment, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been taken, then our iman will increase. But we are in an evil environment, or when we are engaged with worldly activities, then our iman tend to decrease. So such gatherings where our pious predecessors have kept, and ulama, they continuously makes effort to have such gatherings where the Muslims from different creed, different race, different background, different masjids come to a common ground, and they interact and they listen to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the words of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which has great impact on them.
Subhanallah, yes, that is true. For all the listeners that just joined us, we coming to you live from Durban. The Ijtima is happening here. We do have two of our reporters at the Ijtima grounds inside, Noman and Maulana Muhammad Bam, and they will be giving us live updates, inshallah. We're going to take a quick break now. I do believe Noman Panjba is standing by with the update. As soon as we come back from the break, inshallah, we will cross over and get the latest.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. We are broadcasting live from the edge of the KZN Ijtima. The Ijtima, the province annual Ijtima, is taking place as at Tilts Crescent Grounds here in Overport, and we are at the edge of it. We have our reporters at the site, and inshallah we'll be getting updates from them. With me at our built-in studios that we have here in KZN is Mawlana Yusuf Umar. Mawlana, welcome back. Jazakallahu khairan once again.
We'll be crossing over now, Mawlana. We're crossing over now to the Ijtima, and we have with us on the line Noman Panjbhai. Noman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Noman.
Noman, quickly update on what's happening there.
Okay, at the moment, Mulana, I'm where the sleeping arrangements have been made, and I'm in one of the nacelle tents. Actually, I'm seeing south zone posts being put up, and also there's an talk taking place in the main tent by Mulana Abdul Hamid of Azadwell, and it looks like a considerable amount of crowd is sitting for his program. Many are people still coming in their jamaat. So alhamdulillah, it's an atmosphere of spirituality, and many people trying to engage themselves in ibadah. And at the moment, I'm sitting also with a group of students who are busy doing ta'lim at the moment in one of the tents.
Alhamdulillah. Perhaps if would one of them want to come and speak?
Gigi, I do have with me Brother Suhail, and I'll be passing his phone over to him. Just hold on for me.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Suhail, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, yes sir.
Alhamdulillah, Suhail. Where are you from, Suhail?
Yeah, I can hear you.
G?
Yeah, I can hear you.
G, where are you from?
Vicksburg.
Vicksburg, alhamdulillah. Yeah, what are you doing right? And what are you doing? I believe you're studying.
We're doing some work.
Where are you studying?
In the sleeping tent.
Gee, so he'll tell us, I mean, of course, it will be difficult for you to say right now what have you really benefited from the Ijtima. But let's go with this. What do you wish to gain from the Ijtima?
I wish to gain that my Islam, my self-proclamation be properly made and become humble and like to serve people.
Suhail, do you attend regularly for the Ijtima? Is this your first time?
No, it's a regular attend.
Okay, so what would be the highlight of the Ijtima? What do you look forward to most when you attend any of the Ijtimas?
I gain maximum benefit from it and what other pious people would generally do in the Ijtima.
Do you have any message for our listeners before we let you go, Brother Suhail?
What?
Do you have any message to say on Radio Islam before we let you go?
No.
No message. Okay. Jazakallah, Brother Suhail. You can pass the phone back to Brother Norman. Norman? You've been attending regular Ijtimas in Johannesburg, in our Gauteng Ijtima that we have, and now you have come to KZN last year. If I remember also, we came to Ladysmith and we attended the Ijtima together. So if you have to compare, what's the difference between KZN Ijtima and the Gauteng Ijtima?
So the difference is, I think that the Chal Ijtima, that the amount of people that are attending is quite a smaller amount compared to the Transvaal area, and but alhamdulillah, the turnout is good compared to the one I think in Ladysmith that took place last year. But as we said, that the more people that come, inshallah, the more people will be benefiting, inshallah, in all the programs that are taking place. So alhamdulillah, that is a positive. Another thing, what's different would be that in the Transvaal Ijtima, of course, you're going to get all the Transvaal regions in the sleeping tents, whereas when you go through here, as we're not from Natal, so we only see like those names written on the tent saying Northern Natal, Southern Natal, Central Zone. So I'm not so clued up with it. I just walk into any of the tents and feel at home.
Jazakallah, Norman. Inshallah, hopefully in about half an hour again, we'll be chatting to you and getting the final updates for this evening.
Not a problem, inshallah, Mulana. Jazakallah.
Okay, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
That's rolling coverage from the site of Ijtima. Brother Norman Panchbaya reporting for us for Radio Islam from the Ijtima that is taking place here in Overport. Another news reader and reporter we have is Maulana Muhammad Bam. He's also at another spot at the Ijtima. Let's also get some updates from him. Maulana Bam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Early on, we spoke to you, Maulana. At that time, the Asr Jamaat was going to take place. Tell us the developments from there, and currently, where exactly are you?
Okay. Maulana, I'm sitting in the second tent and listening a bit to the program that Maulana Abdulhamid has, and many points that have come out from Maulana Abdulhamid's bayan. The first point is Wadakir Fain Zikra Tirfaul Mu'mineen. He expounded comprehensively on that ayat that Wadakir, this is a reminder, is always beneficial for the mu'mineen. And thereafter, he mentioned also, Wala dhikrullahi akbar, that the greatest deed is the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he went further and he also expounded on why we don't believe in the evolution theory, that is Darwin theory, and that has been taught in school. And he mentioned that Allah has given us so many different signs that Allah is always here, and that Allah is the creator. And he mentioned that people are teaching that our children the wrong thing. And he mentioned that by Allah mentioning "Wala dhikrullahi akbar," it shows that it completely throws out this theory of Darwin. However, with myself, I do have one student, and this is Brother Naeem Piri. Brother Naeem Piri is a student from Newcastle. I'm going to hand you over to Brother Naeem Piri now, right?
Ji.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. No.
How are you doing, Naeem?
Alhamdulillah, and you, brother?
Alhamdulillah. Where are you from?
Actually, I'm from Swaziland.
From Swaziland, alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
And I've asked this before to I spoke to someone earlier on, and I asked him, and I think it's a very important question, especially for the benefit of our listeners. You here at the Ijtima, what do you hope to achieve in the next 24 or 48 hours?
Inshallah, me being the Ijtima, inshallah, I'm hoping on good hope. Since now I'm in the 10, listening to Mullah Blamit Spayan. Now I'm on, inshallah, I want to take some notes, and inshallah, and check whatever notes you speak, inshallah, I want to practice it, because I know Mullah Blamit always quote golden words, you know. He's a man of Allah.
Subhanallah.
Now, subhanallah. Now, so I myself, alhamdulillah, I'm a Darul Uloom student, but I can't compare myself with the ulama. You know, the ulama, like the Quran says, inna mashallah min ibadul ulama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always give ulama the special nur, you know.
True.
Now, so that's why inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always give the ulama that special nur. That nur comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why it's good for me. I said, you know what, let me sit in this bayan and benefit, and whatever it says, inshallah, that I will bring into my life, inshallah.
Inshallah. You mentioned you were a student in a Darul Uloom. Which year are you in? Which class?
I'm in fifth year.
Sixth year is Bukhari or Mishkat?
No, fifth year.
Gee.
Yeah, not sixth year, fifth year.
Sixth year.
Gee.
No, the number before six, fifth year.
Fifth year.
No. Mm-hmm. Now, we do Mishkat. We do Hidayah, we do Nurul Anwar, yes, and then we do also in the Imam period, they teach us how to lead the people tomorrow as you and Alim.
Ji.
Alhamdulillah. Now we do Miskat, the second part.
Brother Naeem, were you born Muslim, or did you accept Islam?
I accepted Islam. I wasn't born a Muslim. I was I grew up in Swaziland for many years. I was a Christian.
So tell us the journey of you entering into Islam. What age did you accept Islam, and what inspired you to accept this beautiful religion?
Actually, what happened, my father was a Muslim from long time. But my mom wasn't a Muslim.
Yeah.
So what happened is my father normally works here in South Africa.
Yeah.
So what happened is he said, you know what, let me check these two boys of mine and let me put them in the madrasa. Because as you know, in Swaziland, like a location, all there's no Islam at all. You only get masjid in the town. So he took me and my brother, and then he put us by Karimusa Sida. That's madrasa's Yawul Badr.
Jeffistown.
Yeah, Jeffistown. And we studied there, maktab, you know, hadith and all these things, you know, basic things. And from there, they put us into his class. And then as for his class, so it was hard at the beginning. I'll be like, you know, you're a Christian, and you know how to sit in the masjid, that tahiyat position. It was a bit difficult. It was difficult for us. So, but at the end of the day, alhamdulillah, still today, alhamdulillah, to make a surah, a shukr, to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many people from Swaziland, and Allah selected me and my brother. You know, it's a real great ni'mah.
Before we let you go, those people that are unable to come and attend the Ijtima, what words of encouragement can you give them so that they can listen to the advice and inshallah try and attend the Ijtima?
I will say Ijtima is a wonderful, wonderful gathering. It's a wonderful, you know, it's because many, many, you know, ulamas and normal people, they gather And you know, the hadith says like that. If many people gather like this, and you know, they make dua, dua is accepted, you know.
Gee, that is so true. Naeem, jazakallah for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and accept. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you a successful alim. And one day, inshallah, we may attend the ijtima where you are the main speaker. Ameen.
Inshallah. Allah reward you, brother. Very thankful with you, inshallah.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, just one point that I wanted to mention of Brother Naeem Piri is gone now. Hafiz Naeem Piri, Brother Maulana Muhammad Piri, he is based in Indonesia in extension 10 in the, what you call it, intermediate towards the Vatican. And many times, Maulana Muhammad Piri, he does give bayans in our masjid at Hassan Street also.
Subhanallah. So mashallah, both the brothers are doing wonderful job for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to propagate the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time right now is exactly 17 minutes past 5 o'clock. Inshallah, Maulana Bam, in about half an hour's time, before we round up, we'll try and get the final update for this evening. But we'll go for a short break, and after a short break, we'll be crossing over to Maulana Yusuf Sadr, and inshallah, Maulana will also be giving us some advice with regards to the ijtima, the history of ijtima, and the important gathering that people come forward here for the ijtima, what they can take home, and some of the important how they can spend their time correctly when they attend ijtima. So before that, we go for a break. When we return, we speak to Maulana Yusuf Sadr. Stay tuned.
This live broadcast is brought to you by Checkout Supermarkets. At Checkout, we make certain that our products meet the same exacting standards and requirements as all major national brands. Just like national brands, Checkout House brand products are tested and analyzed for quality and safety by independent companies before they reach our shelves. While packaging is important as the first impression of a product, ingredients and quality remain paramount. Checkout Supermarkets. Quality, service, savings. Also brought to you by Abba Musa Hardware Wholesalers, Alpine Cement, World of Travel. World of Travel is a dynamic company that thrives on ensuring the most efficient, hassle-free handling of all aspects of travel, from the pilgrim to the adventurer, and not forgetting honeymooners, are all offered a highly personalized professional service. Visit us at 44 Crescent Street, Overport, Durban, South Africa. Telephone number 031-208-8877.
Looking for more fun in the city? Welcome to the new smart car range. Where others still think in kilometers per hour, we think a step further. After all, it's completely different things that count in the city compared to on the motorway. For more information about the new funky smart cars, visit us at Shiraz Auto or simply give us a call on 011-213-1100 or visit our website at www.shirazauto.co.za. Shiraz Auto, your Mercedes-Benz dealer worth a difference.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah is the greatest.
Spice up your weekdays at Eagle Spear Spur Lanesia and Indianapolis Spur Boxburg. Why stay in when you can stake out at a spur and enjoy tender, perfectly prepared, legendary steak cuts of your choice? So, go on, get your week on at Eagle Spear and Indianapolis Spur. See www.spur.co.za for terms and conditions.
Are you stuck for transport? Need to travel long distance, but getting to your destination is a problem? Call Freeway Coaches and we'll solve your problem. For personal or company use, book our luxury or semi-luxury coaches. We hire out our buses for long distance transport to Cape Town, Durban and neighboring countries. Don't delay. Plan your trip and call us on 011-852-5417. Please note, we only hire out buses.
This live broadcast is brought to you by Checkout Supermarkets. At Checkout, we make certain that our products meet the same exacting standards and requirements as all major national brands. Just like national brands, Checkout House brand products are tested and analyzed for quality and safety by independent companies before they reach our shelves. While packaging is important as the first impression of a product, ingredients and quality remain paramount. Checkout Supermarkets. Quality, service, savings. Also brought to you by Abba Musa Hardware Wholesalers, Alpine Cement, World of Travel. World of Travel is a dynamic company that thrives on ensuring the most efficient, hassle-free handling of all aspects of travel, from the pilgrim to the adventurer, and not forgetting, honeymooners are all offered a highly personalized professional service. Visit us at 44 Crescent Street, Overport, Durban, South Africa. Telephone number 031-208-8877.
Yes, welcome back. 22 minutes past 5 here on Radio Islam International. We're coming to you live from KwaZulu-Natal. Rolling coverage of the Ijtima that's happening here in Durban. Just a quick reminder, if you are in the Durban region, Maghrib sets in today at 5.53. So you have about half an hour left before Maghrib. In Johannesburg, Maghrib sets in just past 6. Just past 6 p.m. Nevertheless, focusing on the Ijtima, before the break, we had a crossover to the site itself. We spoke to Mulan Muhammad Baham, Mulan Noman Panchbhai as well. And we also have senior scholars with us to discuss more about the Ijtima, just to understand it better, to understand. So if we do attend, we know exactly what to look out for, rather what benefits to take home, inshallah. With me on the line right now, I do have the principal of the Girls Madrasa in Ladysmith, Mulana Yusuf Saidon. Mulana, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you keeping this evening, Marana?
Alhamdulillah, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all well, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Now, Mulana, speaking about the Ijtima, generally, you know, we spoke earlier on to Mulana Aku, we spoke about the logistics and he mentioned the preparations that goes into it as far as the males are concerned. But, you know, from a female's point of view, how can women contribute not just to the Ijtima itself, but rather to making the Ijtima a success?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. We praise and glorify Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with Islam and Iman, and we send salutations upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also we send salutations upon his blessed family, upon his noble and chosen companions, the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we all know that the Ijtima, mashallah, is a very, very blessed gathering, a gathering in which the mu'mineen gather in large numbers, and that is something that will definitely cause the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend, where everybody is performing salah together, where collective dua is made, tawbah, istighfar, where the Quran and the lessons from the Quran al-Kareem and the hadith and the seerah is discussed in the Nabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So really there is great benefit, and we all know that the menfolk, they derive great benefit from this, but we cannot forget the contribution of the ladies, and undoubtedly the women folk have a great role to play, and they have a great role to play in Islam, they have a great role to play in our society. And Mulana, as the saying goes, that behind every successful man there's always somebody that is behind him, and most of the time you find that is either it is either his mother or it is either his wife that is the reason for his success, the ultimate success and the high levels of success and the pinnacles of success that every person reaches. You find that if you study the lives of all the great ulama, the great awliya, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single one of them, you find that they will attribute their success and the high level that they have reached, they will attribute it to the tarbiyah and the training that was given to them by their mother. So then we find that this is the important role. So even in today's time, we find that now in the Ijtima, leading up to the Ijtima, in the Ijtima also we find all the men folk have gone. So it was the women folk who happily, they gave the permission and they made it easy. There was no problem in granting permission, that the men were all looking for permission to go, you know, passing the message on that everybody is looking forward to going to the Ijtima. So it was with clear hearts and with open hearts, mashallah, everybody gave permission happily. And then besides that, we find that the fikr that was carrying on, the tarbiyah that carries on in the home, the programs that we have, that the ladies are having, the contribution that the ladies make in terms of coordinating lots of things when it comes to the Ijtima, that behind the scenes we find that the ladies are very, very involved. MashaAllah, they are the ones who make so many khatams of the Quran al-Kareem. They are the ones who recite so much of Quran al-Kareem. They are the ones who are actually fasting. They are the ones who are making dua. dua for the success of the Ijtima. They are the ones who attend so much of programs. And whenever any need is placed before them that this is what is required and all the ladies are required to prepare something, for example, leading up to the Ijtima and during the days of the Ijtima, there is so much of things that have to be taken care of, so much of mihman, so much of ulama, so much of important guests. So all this, we find that behind this ultimately will be the khidmat that the women folk are making. And we find that the Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali, he would say that during the days of the Ijtima, he would say the ladies have a very, very important role to play. And what is that role? He would say that during the days of the Ijtima, he would recommend that all the women folk should keep roza, they should keep fast, and they should engage in abundant istighfar and in tawbah, in dua, for the success of the Ijtima. So subhanAllah, they look at this. So the success of the Ijtima is actually hinging on this, the ibadat, that the zikr, the focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the women folk are making, that our men folk, our sons, everybody have gone to the Ijtima. They are so happy that inshallah they're making dua that for the success of the Ijtima, that it becomes a means of hidayat for everybody, for our family members, for our relatives. It becomes a means of hidayat for our town, for our city, for our country, for the entire world. And this actually is the main, so they undoubtedly, Imran, they have a great role to play, and the effect that they have, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, even though we may not perceive it, but in reality it has far reaching consequences, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.
Gee, that is so true. Now, Malana, you also mentioned regarding the ladies sending their husbands or their fathers or their sons to the Ijtima. You know, one important aspect is spending one's time correctly at the Ijtima. If I recall, I think it was Malana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi, I'm not sure, but he mentioned that there are many people that would come to the Merkez, they would say they spend time in a Merkez, but in reality they did not spend time, and the reason was because they were here physically, but their time was not spent constructively. Now, as far as the Ijtima is concerned, we always hear, yes, we should spend our time constructively, but perhaps Maulana can give us some insight. When we say constructively, when we say spend our time correctly, what exactly should we be doing?
Gee, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, that's a very, very pertinent point and aspect of the Ijtima, that there are thousands of people that have come, thousands of people have gathered, and obviously the effort of everybody will not be the same, and the results of everybody that has come to the Ijtima at the end of the day, after 3 days, what will be the result of everybody? How did everybody fare? What did they gain? So everybody's iman will not be the same, everybody's level of iman, and the benefit that everybody will achieve will depend on how the intention, will depend on the effort that they make, the sacrifice that they make, and most importantly, as you mentioned, Maulana, is that how they spend their time. So the Ijtima is such a unique environment, it is such a unique gathering that alhamdulillah, through so much of effort, through so much of now contribution, so much of planning, logistics, intizam, everything has been made possible, everything has been now provided, that in one, the Ijtima Gah, the site of the Ijtima, you find there's place for programs to take place, there's place, arrangements have been made for sleeping, arrangements have been made for eating, arrangements have been made for ablution, for istinja, for ghusl, every single requirement, human requirement has been made. So now it means when a person comes to the Ijtima Gah, he must not leave the Ijtima Gah. He comes to the Ijtima, he must not leave the Ijtima site. That is the main thing, I think, the very, very foremost point, that each and every single person, they should come to the Ijtima, they should remain in the Ijtima site, because there's no need for them to go out. There's no human need that they need to go relieve themselves, they need to go buy food, they need to now a place to sleep. They need something, everything has been provided for, so that is now the beauty of this whole gathering, that now all that is required, that the people come, and the most benefit will be derived by that person who comes and he now remains in that atmosphere, he remains in that environment for this entire period of time, over 2.5 days, 3 days. So he remains in that environment, and that environment will have an effect on him. It will affect his iman will be increased, and it will touch the soul of his heart. Yeah, he will find, he will be affected by the collective salah, by all the wa'az, all the nasihat, all the lectures that have been given, the ta'aleem that will be take place, the different nasihat, interacting with different people from different parts of our country, meeting different people, making khidmat, serving people, just being a good Muslim and making ikram of one another. So by remaining in that environment, subhanAllah, over the period of 2.5-3 days, subhanAllah, a great change can come over that person. No matter how hard his heart may be, his heart will soften, his heart will become soft, his heart will become mild and turn towards the Quran Kareem, his heart will turn towards the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his heart will turn towards Deen. That is because if he comes out of that environment, then we find that now once again you're out of that environment, you are no more protected. It's like when you go to the masjid. The masjid is Baytullah, it is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're in the masjid, mahfudat, and the person is safeguarded. You're safeguarded from shaitan, you're safeguarded from all the fitan that may be outside. Similarly, is the ijtimaa much more bigger, that we have this environment that has been created, environment of deen, that now, so if a person is in that environment, he will be benefiting at all times. Even though he may be eating, he's benefiting. Even though he may be lying down, even though he may be talking to some brothers, they may be talking about mundane things, they will talk about deen, they will be merely getting to know one another, which is also part of Islam, and this is all the brotherhood of Islam. And when the brother is sleeping also, he will be still benefiting from that environment while he is sleeping. So like how the famous saying of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, Wallahi inni la ahtasibu fi nawmati kama ahtasibu fi qawmati. SubhanAllah, what an amazing saying. And Imam Bukhari has mentioned this in Bukhari Sharif, and the scholars of Hadith, when they come to this point and how they comment on this, SubhanAllah, so Abdullah ibn Mas'ud has said, I swear by Allah that I am hopeful of receiving a reward from my resting, from my sleeping, like how I am hopeful of receiving a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from my ibadah, for standing in ibadah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when that person is in the ijtimaa, he may be sleeping, right? After the programs are over at night, he will now rest until the time of the Hajj time. So while he's sleeping, he's benefiting from that environment. When he is having his meals, he's benefiting from the environment. When he's interacting with his Muslim brothers, when he's making khidmat, he's benefiting. And there's so many different brothers are engaged in different khidmat and serving. So all this, they are benefiting from that environment. Each one will accrue and get their reward. So it is very, very important that the person remain in that ijtima site, they remain in that environment, and the activities that have now been facilitated, mashallah, every program, there's great benefit, there's great wisdom, there's different talks that will be given by different mashayikh and the elders and the ulama, and then the salah will take place, and then there's ta'aleem, and there's different activities, collective activities that will be taking place. So it is now compulsory, it is now binding upon each and every person that attends the ijtimaa that they derive benefit. How do they derive benefit? That they go eagerly for every program. They will be the first to go and sit in the front saf. They want to get as close to the podium as possible. They want to get as close to the speaker as possible. Each and every program. So this is the result. This is the aim of coming to the ijtimaa, that we want to spend this valuable time that we have now sacrificed. We have left our home, left our families, left our wives, left our children. We have come out fi sabilillah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, undoubtedly. But now we need to spend our time properly. And Mulana, I always think of, you remember this, it comes in the life of Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali. He says that while he was studying in Madair al-Ulum, at one period of time, his sandals were broken. So Hazrat Sheikh says, and this is written in RBT, that he did not purchase another new pair of sandals. He says, because I had no need. For 6 months or 1 year, he says, I never left the grounds. I never left the area of the madrasa. He never went beyond the madrasa walls. He remained in the madrasa. He says, in the madrasa, we had place to sleep. I would go from my classroom to the masjid, and from the masjid there was a separate place for wudu, there was a separate place for the toilets, where the toilets are, there was chambers that were always kept there, there were sandals that were kept there. I would wear those sandals, use those sandals for toilet, I would come make my wudu, I would then either go to my classroom or go to my room to rest. And he says then the meals were provided, food was provided. I had no need to leave the madrasa, I had no need to wear shoes, so he says I never purchased a pair of sandals for 6 months or 1 year, subhanAllah. So imagine, this is the sacrifices that our Akabirin made, and this is the fruits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with, the acceptance and the benefit that they had, that they gave to humanity. So similarly, if we spend our time properly in the ijtimaa, when we return, right? When we come back to our families, we come back rejuvenated, our iman has been ignited, our iman has been increased, we come back and we share those benefits with our families, with our wives, with our children, with our localities. That is how the benefit will spread, inshallah, throughout the whole of South Africa and throughout the whole world. But vital is that we spend our time properly. There's no need, wallahi, to leave the Ijtama site. Everything has been provided. So we come with that purpose and we remain focused. We remain firm and we remain that within this ground, within this area that has been allocated for the Ijtama, Allah Ta'ala has chosen this piece of ground. We remain here because this is where we're going to gain. The minute we leave that environment, now we have left that protected environment. Now we have come out into a no man's land where anything goes. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala save us from the evil and the fitna that is out there in our societies. And wallahi, this is a blessed gathering. And the more we spend time there, the more benefit we will gain.
Indeed. Jazakallah, just to remind our listeners, you are listening to Radio Islam International and we are broadcasting from the edge of the Ijtima here in Overport, and we have our roving reporters that will be giving us updates very shortly, and we are speaking currently to Maulana Yusuf Seder from Ladysmith, who is speaking to us with regards to the Ijtima and how to spend our time correctly and fruitfully in the Ijtima. Maulana, you mentioned about spending our time correctly, but how would one gauge whether the Ijtima was success?
The mere fact that Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the Ijtima is taking place, look at all the work, the effort that is put into it, all the different branches of deen. We find khidmat, we find the brothers are helping one another, we're meeting, we're parting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah, there's a big gathering of thousands of people where Salah is taking place, the Zikrullah is taking place, where the words of Allah ta'ala and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are being listened and mentioned and spoken with respect and honor, listened with, spoken with honor and respect. And then we find that now so much of khidmat has been taking place, so much of ikram and Muslim is being shown and so forth. So this in itself is a success, inshallah. The benefits will not only come to Durban, it will go to the whole of South Africa, to the whole world, inshallah. But the main thing is that the main aim of the Ijtima is not that we merely gather, we eat and we drink and we mix with one another, or we get to know one another better, we establish the links of deen. But the main aim is that we all come so that we can become closer, we strengthen our iman and we strengthen our Islam, we become new Muslims. Well, this is the beginning of the new year. The Ijtima is taking right at the beginning of Muharram. Today is the second, now will be the third, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So this is actually now, it can become a new beginning for so many, for all of us, for each and everyone. We're going to become better Muslimin, we're going to become better Muslims, we're going to make a pledge that we're never going to leave Salah. So now from there, each and every person that is at the Ijtima Gah, they say we're going to perform 5 times Salah with Jama'ah. And when we go back home, we're going to ensure that our women folk are also performing Salah, our children are also performing Salah. We're going to know that spirit of deen, the spirit of sacrifice for deen, that if that comes into one person, Alhamdulillah, the Ijtima is a success. And obviously we all know that the aim of the Ijtima is that everybody that desire must come into us, we also want to sacrifice for the sake of deen, we also want to make khidmat of deen, we also want to serve deen, we also want to uplift the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we also want to contribute towards the success of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what the Ijtima is. So the Ijtima will be measured by the fervor, the sacrifice, how many jama'ats will be inshallah prepared. And each and every person, everybody will not go immediately cash from the Ijtima, they will leave straight away, but that spark may come into somebody's heart that, you know what, when I go home, I need to do something, I need to spend some time in my masjid, I need to spend some time in my community, I need to now spend some time in the path of Allah, I need to spend some time in whichever activity of deen, I need to do something for the upliftment of deen. So the main thing is how many people will be going from the Ijtima now, immediately and in the future, inshallah. And then that sacrifice for deen, that we make our pledge, we make our motto of life, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. My worship, my ibadah, my sacrifice, my living, my dying, every single aspect of my life is only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what the Ijtima is all about, that we change the focus of our lives. We want to serve the deen of Allah. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرُكُمْ. We want the help of Allah, but we have to help the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we help Allah ta'ala? By helping the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us in this world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us success in the year after.
Mulana, as we are coming to our Maghrib Azan and Maghrib break, and inshallah thereafter, Mulana Ahmed Suleiman Qattani Sahab Damat Barakatum will be giving a lecture at the Ijtima site. So finally, we want to ask you that what is the wisdom of going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a specific period like 3 days, 40 days and 4 months, like you mentioned, that one of the ways of gauging the success of the Ijtima is to come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what's the hikmat in that, Mulana?
See, alhamdulillah, we find that what is prescribed is that a person should go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any time that is possible, and then there some time limits have been set of 3 days, 40 days, and 4 months, and so on and so forth. So we find that this is now not some new innovation, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, but actually this is something that is also can be proven via inference from the Quran Kareem. It can be proven from the noble sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba Ikram. We find that now Allah ta'ala mentions about 40 days regarding the story of Musa alayhi salam, that Musa alayhi salam was now given promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 40 nights. So this was taken from immediately, directly from the Quran Kareem, from the story of Musa alayhi salam. And then it is futile for some people to say that now that was Musa alayhi salam, and we do not follow Musa alayhi salam, we follow Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that is all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. The Quran Kareem is actually the culmination of the beautiful teachings of each and every book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was sent down. So this is a beautiful teaching from all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. So we find that there is great benefit. And then obviously in the hadith we find Nabi sallallahu said that whosoever performs salah, his farz salah, for 40 days continuously, this hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, and with takbir-e-ula, at the beginning of salah, the person is there, Allah Ta'ala will safeguard him from the fire of Jahannam and safeguard him from hypocrisy. Allahu Akbar. So this is a sahih hadith. It is an authentic hadith. It is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. So this is actually the main reason that for 40 days a person goes out and he remains in the environment of deen, the environment of the masjid, where he now dedicates that, sacrifices that amount of time. Undoubtedly there will be great benefit to his iman, there will be great benefit to his Islam, and this is all the benefit that he will gain. And regarding 4 months, we find that from our 24 hours of the day, if you take 1/3, 8 hours, right, so 8 hours we are supposed to dedicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where does this come? We find Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was requested by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give for the sake of Allah, he gave everything. Today how many people do that? Very, very few. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave 50%, he gave half. How many people today do that? Very, very few. Hazrat Usman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he gave 1/3. In the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this 1/3, if you take 1 year, 1/3 is 4 months. So that is where we find that this is also a period of time. And then 3 days, we find that now the ulama say this, and all, when the jamaats go to one locality, they come. For some effect to take place, they must stay for 3 days. If you come and stay for 1 day, there's no effect. But 3 days, if you remain in one place, and you do the effort of deen, or whatever effort you are doing, 3 days, then through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is an effect that will come about, and you'll find that there will be far-reaching consequences. The benefits will come, the mercy of Allah ta'ala will descend, and the special help of Allah ta'ala will descend, where the hearts are softened, the hearts are inclined towards iman, towards Islam, towards the jama'ah, towards the brothers. So this is actually the benefit of this. So each and everything, mashallah, has been taken from the Quran Kareem, has been taken from the sunnah, from the lives of the sahaba, and the awliya, and our elders, the ulama ikram. They have now taught us. Well, there's something I would like to, there's one incident I just read the other day. It's very, very ajeeb. It's mentioned that Hazrat Mulana Ilyas Kandalwi Rahmatullahi once went to Muzaffar Nagar, there was a program.
Yes.
So when he came to Muzaffar Nagar, at the station, the people had come with elephants to receive Hazrat and take him to the place. So Hazrat saw this, he said that this is against the mizaj of the work, the simplicity, etc. We will sit in a normal transport and we'll go to the place of the residence and where the program is taking place. So anyway, they traveled in normal transport. So Hazrat came there, he began with his program. A few minutes later, Hazrat came to know that nearby, Hazrat Mulana Hussein Ahmad Madani, Rahmullah, was conducting a program. Immediately, Hazrat stopped his program, Hazrat Mulana Ilyasaf, and he told everybody that was present there, Hazrat Mulana Hussein Ahmad Madani is present nearby, he is conducting a program, all of us are going to attend the program of Hazrat Mulana Hussein Ahmad Sahab. And meanwhile, Hazrat Hussein, Mulana Hussein Ahmed Madani, rahmatullah alayhi, was conducting his program. He came to know that Mulana Ilyas Sahab has come to Muzaffar Nagar and he is nearby, is conducting a program. So he stopped his program and he told everybody that Hazrat Mulana Ilyas Sahab is here. We are all going to attend his program. SubhanAllah. So from this we learn so many things. We learn what is a class. They were doing everything only for the pleasure of Allah. They were not that worried about their own program and putting their own program first. They were worried about the work of deen. And they were showing respect that their sincerity was only for the pleasure of Allah they were doing. And what we learn from this also is that every effort of deen, we need to, we focus on one effort of deen, mashallah, but we support each and every effort of deen. And this is the love, the understanding that they had. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite the Muslim ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the ijtima a means of hidayat for South Africa, for the entire world. May Allah ta'ala make it a means of His mercy coming down and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming down.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah, Mulana Yusuf, we really appreciate your time and your wonderful advices that you rendered and gave us more information regarding this important topic of ijtima. Hopefully we do have a better understanding and inshallah we try and gain more benefits from these gatherings that takes place annually.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu feekum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Maulana Yusuf Saidul Sahab Damat Barakatum, who is the principal of Girls Madrasa in Ladysmith. Maulana was contributing with regards to the topic on Ijtima. And now somebody sent us a clip of the Ijtima that is currently taking place here in Overport, the bayan that took place early on of Maulana Abdulhamid Sahab Damat Barakatum. So just for the benefit of our listeners, we're going to play a small extract called Maghrib Azan, and we're going to listen to the advices that were rendered by Maulana Abdulhamid Sahab Damat Barakatum at the Ijtima.
Again, in that heart, and build your connection, recognize Allah Ta'ala. Have a connection, love of Allah Ta'ala. And then the obedience of Allah will become a pleasure and will become a joy to a person. May Allah Ta'ala bring this within us. And then those of us who are engaged in any type of deeny work, whether it is we go out in Jamaat, etc., in Jamaat work, or whether we are teaching in a madrasa, a maktab, a darul ulum, or whether we are doing any other type, social welfare work, all this work, we need much more than the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. And when we don't have that is when we also have problems, then such things come on our tongues that nobody listens. We're telling the people, they don't listen. People, when we tell them, they become angry on us. No, if we do it the right way, and we got that energy within us, the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, people will listen. Okay? For example, an aeroplane, when it takes off, it needs a lot of fuel. And when it's flying, it has reached its height, now it's just cruising, now it needs very little fuel. But to take off, it needs a lot of fuel. So we also, whoever is doing any type of deeny work, one is a person is just doing for himself, he's making his namaz, he also needs zikr. But those people who are doing any type of deeny work, they need much more than zikr of Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, rahmatullah alayh, wrote to one of his murid who started a madrasa, he says, unless you don't take out at least 2 hours a day for the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, that is tilawat, dua, etc., nawafir, tahajjud, he says, your madrasa cannot run. It won't run correctly. The spirit of it won't come. It will be just a building. The students will just get information. But what the purpose of ilm is, that won't come. Today we all have got problems in our daily work. Everywhere we are facing this. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to cry and say, it is the lack of taking the name of Allah Ta'ala. That we are not remembering Allah. We all want to be united. We all want to be one body. We all want to be together. And the solution to that is only the name of Allah. Not that I'm right. Not that you are right. Not that we debate and argue about the matter. No. When we will unite on the name of Allah Ta'ala. Mm-hmm. This is extremely important that this comes into us. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand this. And the zikr of Allah Ta'ala is such that it will help us to save us from all types of sin. Mm-hmm. So today we are getting involved in all types of sin. And one person just told me, when they went to Raibin, Maulana Ihsan Sahib said, whenever a person comes here, he comes with 3 enemies. One is nafs is our enemy, our insight. One is Shaitan is our enemy, and one is the mobile phone, the cell phone. So he asked, who of you got cell phones? The Amir was such, mashallah, that he had trained and told, and all young people, students, young people, he told them, if you come with me, no cell phone. Maulana Ehsan was shocked and very happy that, mashallah, here's a Jamaat with no cell phone. And today we believe that we can't do without the cell phone. Allahu Akbar. One youngster told his parents or somebody that, how did you people men manage without a cell phone? Hey, how did you live without a cell phone? He said that, I can't understand how you manage without namaz in your life. How you manage without tilawat of Quran Sharif in your life. How you manage without the zikr of Allah. Hey, as we can't, the youngsters can't understand how they live without the cell phone. Really, it is a sad time that how are we living without namaz, without zikr, etc. So these things we have to bring and imbibe within ourselves. May Allah Ta'ala prefer and make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala very common. And our worst enemy is not any country, it's not any nation. Our worst enemy are our own sins. The sins that we commit, those are our enemies. And to save ourselves from sin is also the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. It saves us, it is such a protection for a person. But when we do it regularly, continuously, punctually, and with feeling, not just one day we make zikr and then for a long day no zikr. One day we read some Quran Sharif, for a long time we didn't read. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali gives a beautiful example for us to understand that how terrible sins are. He says there was a young man who got married, young man, about 20, 25 he got married, but every night he was wetting the bed, urinating in the bed. Now, very bad condition. So the wife said, what's wrong with you? Small children who are born, 1 year, 6 months, they all the time, we have to put napkins and that, they mess, etc. But you're a grown-up man. He says, actually what happens, when I sleep, Shaitan comes to me in my dream. And he takes me for a long walk. And after a long time, every person needs to go toilet after some hours. So I tell him, I need to go to a toilet. Then he shows me a very ultra-modern hygienic toilet. And he shows me, go and do your thing. But it's all in the bed, in the dream. So I do it. And then in the morning, this is what I find. So the wife says, oh, Shaitan is such a good friend of yours. He comes every night and he takes you for a walk. You know how poor we are. We haven't got money. Tell him, what is he letting you mess the bed like this? Tell him that he must show you where money is kept. Shaitan is a jinn. And the jinnat know where all the money is kept, all the treasure. So he said, yeah, right idea you gave me. So that night Shaitan came in his dream. He said, my wife said, you must show me where money is. What you making me urinating the bed every night? So he said, no problem.
Welcome back to Radio Islam International. That was an extra that was sent to us by one of the people that were there at the Ijtima to try and understand what sorts of advice and what kinds of programs takes place at the Ijtima. That was an extract of a bayan which was delivered at the Ijtima after Asr Salam. We do have our Radio Islam roving team at the Ijtima, inshallah. They will also be giving us updates with regards to what they have observed so far. They are there since the program started just after Zuhal Salam. But in the studios that we have, we are sitting at the edge of the Ijtima here in Overport and reporting live, and with me we have Maulana Yusuf Umar as well as Maulana Pirali, who's the technician guy who's making sure everything goes on air and there's no mistakes. So we will cross over to one of our reporters, Brother Norman Panchpaya, as well as Maulana Muhammad Bam, who is going to give us updates. But before that, let's speak to Maulana Yusuf Umar. Maulana, that was just an extract of what our listeners, especially mothers and sisters that are sitting at home, and they can gain some insight and gain some benefit and get an idea what kinds of advices and what sorts of programs takes place at the Ijtima.
Gee, that's very important that it should be discussed, and everyone should understand the type of advices, the type of programs that take place in the Ijtima. It's focused on just the talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've mentioned this before, and I think we need to reiterate that a person attending the Ijtima, no doubt, the mind will be nourished. You'll go home with something, you learn something new, you might learn a commentary of one ayat, or the meaning of one hadith, or one masala, whatever it might be. But that is not the objective. The objective is to get your heart affected. You know, to get your heart affected, to come out of there, not a learned man, but a changed man. And there's a big difference between that. And I think that is the objective. And that is why, when you look at many of the bayans that take place in the Ijtima, it's very different compared to your average bayan that you might listen to on a CD or, you know, you might listen to on the radio. It's focused, once again, on the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the importance of the sunnah. Mm-hmm. That who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what have we been created for, and understanding that Allah Ta'ala is the one that grants shifa, gives sickness, grants happiness, grants contentment, grants rozi, grants peace, grants peaceful sleep, things like that. All this, to understand all this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think that is the most important thing here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed, Molana. And as we said, that we have one of our reporters at the site, that is Brother Norman Panchbaya, who is reporting for us. And just to bring to the attention of our listeners that we left Lance yesterday after Juma, and Alhamdulillah, we were here in Durban early in the morning, and we discussed different aspects of the Ijtima earlier in the morning. Molana Habib Bobat had Mufti Zubair Bayatsab, as well as Molana Muhammad Venker, speaking about the Ijtima. And then we started the program around 4 p.m., and we interviewed different people at the site, and also we had local ulama. We had Molana Ahmed Aku from Peter Maritzburg, as well as Molana Yusuf Seder from Ladysmith, speaking to us with regards to Ijtima. In between, we had different crossovers and speaking to our reporters. Again, we'll conclude this hour getting final updates for this evening from Norman Panchbaya, as well as Molana Muhammad Bam. So firstly, let's speak to Brother Norman Panchbaya. Norman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ma Saib.
You moving around from tent to tent, from pillar to pillar there at the Ijtima site. Tell us, where are you exactly now?
Gee, at the moment I'm situated where the meal tent is, and where the preparation for tonight's meals, as well as for the meals that will be made throughout the course of the Ijtima. And alhamdulillah, I can't explain it, because it's like a stomach-filling experience kind of thing, where I'm seeing decks set up, at least about 150 to 200 decks that have been prepared with food. And that will be the supper for those that are attending the Ijtima tonight.
Gee. Well, can you mention names of who's preparing the decks? You know, so when they go home, then, you know, if their wives are listening, their wives can say, oh, so you can't pick up a spoon, but you can go love big, big decks that are Ijtima.
I think it would be best that we do not disclose any information like that, or else I'll be in trouble, my Yusuf. But at the moment, there is the Maghrib Adhan that's going off, and as I can see that many people are making their way towards the tent and preparing themselves for that main bayan that is that will be taking place after the Maghrib Salah, and that will be by Maulana Ahmed Suleiman Qattani. Something that people are looking forward to, inshallah. And yeah, his talks are those soul-stirring talks that really, really make someone feel encouraged to God in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at the moment, what I can say that to those that are in the Durban and the Cape Town region, make your way to the Ijtima. Please try and try and obey the rules of the road, as well as the marshals. They are trying to make sure that everything goes well. A lot of security has been set up, the e-shuttle services as well, so people can park at the Overport Secondary School, and the shuttle services which are on the move, they will transport them, inshallah, into the Ijtima site. Ma Yusuf.
Jazakallah, Brother Norman. You can also prepare yourself for Maghrib Salah. Finally, did you meet anyone that you know from Joburg, from Lens area so far?
See, we have met a lot of people, and I wouldn't want to also say the names there, but we have met a lot of people, and they've also made their way. They've actually been here for Jamaah throughout the course of this week. Many of them came in on Thursday, and they made some effort in the Overport region. They went into those areas that are like the hub, and they've tried and given people dawah towards the Ijtima. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them for their efforts, inshallah.
Ameen.
Jazakallah, Brother Norman, for that update. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll get some more updates from you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
On line number two, we have Molana Muhammad Bam as well, who's also reporting for us from the sites of Ijtima. Molana Muhammad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Molana, the Maghrib Azan has just gone off in the background, and we have about 5 or 6 more minutes left in the Johannesburg region. But in that few minutes, while Namaz will be starting, give us updates. What have you observed so far?
See, Maulana, we see that this is a very successful ijtima, I would say, in the amount of numbers. Also, that what we find is that many people, many foreigners, I would say, our local indigenous brothers, many of them have also made the way. Earlier we spoke to a brother named Piri, who is from the Malaysia area, also he's studying in Newcastle. So many students and many people from Johannesburg have also made the way towards the ijtima. Between the last crossover and this crossover, we found that the rain also has gone a bit harder. But alhamdulillah, we see that the team has been on task, and many of them, many trucks have come in with soda, so they're trying to keep the ijtima as less muddy as possible also. And we find that in the main tent where the azan has just gone off and namaz is about to begin, we find that many of the musallas have been soaked with water after this rain for about of 2 or 3 days.
So, Maulana, could you describe to us, when you say tent, what are we speaking about? Now, I'm thinking now of our, you know, female listeners, they keep thinking of tent and rain. Is it soaking in? Is it not soaking in? More or less quickly, what is it built? What is it built with, and how strong is it as far as rain is concerned?
We see that those marquee tents normally... those massive marquee tents that they use. That's the one that they're using. I see in the Johannesburg region nowadays, they use more of the silver, what you call it, the iron, corrugated iron that we use to make the main tent. However, here they still, in the olden days in Johannesburg, where we use those white tents, those are the tents that have been used here. Also, many of them do collect the water on the top. So we find that there are many brothers who are walking with sticks and throwing the water out. If you are one of those brothers that are walking in the middle of two tents, and these guys are coming across and pushing the water out, you're going to have a nice shower.
Subhanallah. Maulana, any closing words before we do the close of the final crossover for today?
Mohammed Suleiman Katani is giving the bayan. If you are in the Durban area, then please do come to the ijtima. There will be very important advice that has been passed from Mohammed Katani, and it's a benefit for one and all. So please do come to the ijtima.
Inshallah. Maulana, jazakallah for your time, and we hope to speak to you again.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, that was Maulana Muhammad Baam speaking to us there from the ijtima. The Radio Islam team is here in Durban for the ijtima. We're bringing you rolling coverage. It's now just around 3 minutes before Maghrib in the Johannesburg region. And we'll go for the Maghrib break. A reminder on Radio Islam tonight, after Maghrib, inshallah, we'll bring you the a bayan by Maulana Ahmad Suleiman Katani, inshallah. And also tomorrow, you will find us here. We are in the Durban studio as well. Once again, rolling coverage coming up tomorrow and Monday morning as well. We will be here in KwaZulu-Natal. So it's all happening here. And like Maulana Muhammad Baam and Oman Panchwai was saying, you know, despite the rain, it's not really pouring. It's just, slightly, let's say, a bit wet conditions. But despite that, we find that, alhamdulillah, the Muslims, the communities of KwaZulu-Natal and its surrounding areas are really coming in their numbers, alhamdulillah. So let us all try to come, inshallah, spend our time correctly. And most importantly, whatever we do, we do for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's now 5 minutes past six, 2 minutes before Maghrib, and we're going to close off. Once again, a reminder later on after Maghrib, a bayan by Maulana Ahmad Suleiman Katani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.